Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class, live from Colombia. We are zocheh to be able to share words of Torah, and as we'll learn how important this Breakfast in the Class actually is, you guys are at a very special edition of Breakfast in the Class, and I'll explain in just a minute why. There's many interesting ideas that find their way into the customs that we have, the minhagim that we have, and a lot of times a person doesn't realize how important that minhag is, or the basis of it, or the reason for it, until actually someone explains it to them. I don't know if you noticed, but we switched to Morid HaTal and Barechenu. And interestingly enough, if you take a look at Sukkot, it doesn't follow the same routine. On Sukkot, when do we switch to Mashiv HaRuach? We switch at the end of the holiday. So the whole of Chol HaMoed, we're saying Morid HaTal, right? Why is it that when it comes to Pesach, we switch to Morid HaTal right in the beginning? What's the reason? So someone once said to me, Rabbi, what do you mean? The other time, it's about rain. No one wants it to rain on the holiday. Here, it's about Morid HaTal, your nice breeze. You want it to stop raining. Everyone wants to have a nice outing on Chol HaMoed. So that's why we switch to Morid HaTal. That reasoning notwithstanding, I want to share with you a beautiful idea I saw from the Nefilotecha Asicha. He says, according to the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer, we know that when Yitzchak told Esav to go out and go hunting so he could give him beracha, what did he say to Esav? He said, go out and get me mat'amim asher ahev. Go get me the delicious things that I love to eat. And the rabbis explained that what is this mat'amim asher ahev? What was this amazing food that he wanted to eat, that Yitzchak wanted to eat? Well, we don't know from Esav, but we know from Yaakov. What did Rivka prepare for him instead of Esav? She took Shtegi Yezim. She took these two korbanot. What do these two korbanot reference? The two korbanot that a person brings on Pesach, the korban Pesach and the korban Hagiga. Michila, can I ask you a favor? Can I have uno cappuccino with a sweetener? Is that okay? Mucho gracias. Thank you. So that's why there was two korbanot. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this that the day that he was going to give the berachot, what day was that? Pesach. So when Yaakov comes and he gets the beracha, what day is that? Pesach. What's the beracha? V'yiten lecha Elokim. Me? Tala Shamayim. So the beracha already was instituted on that day as a day of Tal HaShamayim. So since that's the case, still today we're switching to Morid HaTal and to Barechenu, which is about Tal, because we have a road. I saw this idea, I wanted to start dancing. As we know, when it comes to Shaharit, Mincha and Arbit, where do these prayers come from? Tefillot, says the Gemara, Tefillot Avot Tikinum. Our forefathers instituted them. And what does that mean that our forefathers instituted them? If you look in the Pesukim, the Gemara and Berachot shares that Shacharit was the prayer of Abraham. Mincha Yetzi Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. He goes to speak in the field. En Sicha Ela Tefila. So Yitzchak prays Mincha. And Yaakov, right, what does he do? He goes and he prays Vayifga En Pigia Ela Lashon Tefila. What does Yaakov do? Yaakov, what does he do? He institutes this powerful thing called Arbit. In some ways, what Yaakov instituted was even more difficult than what Avraham and Yitzchak instituted. What's the proof? The proof is that we say Ma'ariv, or Arbit, is Reshut. Until the Chachamim were mitaken it, that was something which was not obligatory. You have many women that pray Shacharit and Mincha, but they don't pray Arbit. There's also different halachot associated with Arbit, going so far as to see that Tosafot says in one place, we're not posek like this halakha. This is one of those Tosafot that's just a tease. But Tosafot says, you went to bed, you forgot it was Arbit, you're rolling over, you got comfortable, and all of a sudden you're like, oh no, Arbit. Tosafot says, you don't have to get out of bed to pray. We don't hold like Tosafot. I was thinking of making a pillow just out of a printed version of that Tosafot. And then in Shamayim, I come with the pillow. I was like, Hashem, look, please, Nachilak. I had the Tosafot right here. I'm Sephardi, but still, right? Okay. My mother's Ashkenaz. Musaf, we do not say this comes from the Avot. Number one, we only have three Avot. Number two, Musaf represents the Korban of the Korban Musaf. And since it's not a daily thing, it could not come from the Avot. I just said something to you very deep. I don't know if you understood. Musaf is something that only comes up on certain days when we have the Korbanot of Musaf. If it would have come from one of the Avot, it would have been something which was essential. If it was essential, it would have to be every day. So Musaf could not have been a tefillah that was instituted by our Avot. It's a very deep concept. I'm glad that you brought it up, so we were able to bring it out and share it today. Okay? Now, since that's the case, my friends, so we understand that when our Avot did something, they prayed a tefillah, right? Even if in the Torah, all it says is, thank you so much. All it says is, Vayifga b'makom. All it says is, Lasuach basadeh. And from the one word we say, Sicha tefillah, Pigiyah tefillah, we have Shachrit Milchan Arbit. How much more so? A million times over, when the Beracha of Tal was instituted by Yitzchak, on the day of Pesach, we should switch to Morid HaTal, we should switch to Berachenu, because we're plugging into the prayer of Yitzchak Avinu, of Tal, of the Dew. Now my friends, I want, like they say, not to make much ado about nothing. I would like to make much ado about something. I don't know if you got that little, doing that little pun right there. We're talking about do, much ado about nothing. Okay, now, my, you know, all dad jokes in the world would be proud. Baruch, oh, please only answer amen if you're listening to this live. Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam sha'ako nehiya baro.
Amen.
Ah, thank you. The nusach of how we say it in the Amidah comes later. But all the things that Anshei HaKnesset HaGdola was doing was just codifying things that we were already praying for. Okay? They were institutionalizing the nature of the Amidah. Why? Because people lost the gift to be able to spontaneously pray expressively. To pray, you know, if you look, by the way, at the old Chachamim of the Sefaradim, they spoke in poetry. It's the most magnificent thing. You look at Et Sha'ari Ratzon, you want to cry. They spoke, they wrote in poetry. So to us, that we're not that way, that if you left it up to me and you to pray, what would we say? I used to love quoting this. Yubba dub dub, thanks for the grub, yay Lord. Chalas, that's Birkat HaMazon, right? So now that we're not like that, so we need someone to institute the tefillah the way it is. So my friends, what is it that we're doing? And I want to add one level of power. We learn a very interesting idea that a person on the day of their birthday, on the day of their Hebrew birthday, to be clear, they have the ability to be able to give berachot. We learn it out from a pasuk that God said to the Navi, "Ani ayom yiliditicha, I gave birth to you today. Today is the day of beracha." The person is capable of giving brachot on the day of his birthday. Why? Because that's the day where his mazal, his power, is the strongest. That's the day he was born. So on that day, you have a koach to give berachot. Never miss that, by the way. Never miss your birthday. This year, I have a birthday that's very rare, so I really appreciate it. Because I'm born in Adar Aleph. I only get a birthday, Hebrew birthday, once every 3 years. Right, between 3 and 4 years, depending on the calendar. So when I get a birthday, I make a long list of people I want to give berachot. I sit there in my office, and I go through the list, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray. Anyone that wants can make a note and send me a request on Kafchet Adar Aleph. I'm not going to remind you then, but if you want it, you want to send it in, if it's important enough to you, you'll send me the message. Okay, my friends, Ismail, listen to this. Why did Yitzchak choose that day to give the Beracha of Tal? When's Yitzchak's birthday? Pesach! We know that Avraham served the angels, Lushi v'Asihu got. What did he serve them? He served the Matzah. What did the angels say? I mean, come back next year, exactly this time. Ul Sarah ben. Sarah gives a birth to Yitzchak on Pesach. So what day is Yitzchak giving the Beracha of Tal to, who he thinks is Esau, but actually is Yaakov, who he's supposed to give the Beracha to? On his birthday. So there's a tremendous power of the Beracha of Tal. And I think that's the secret of what Yitzchak Avinu was actually saying when he says to his son, he says, go out and get me these gifts. Leman tivarechecha nafshi. in order that my soul should bless you. What does he mean? Isn't all blessings come from the neshama, come from the soul? The answer is, what Yitzchak Avinu was saying is, on the day of my birthday, that's the day when the koach of my soul, of my nefesh, is at its strongest. So today come leman tevarachecha nafshi. My friends, if that beracha was given to Yaakov Avinu by Yitzchak Avinu, it is given on that day. On that day, for every person, for all of Yaakov's descendants, the power of Tal is paramount. And this holiday is a transitional period. And I want to talk a little bit about what this idea means of Morid HaTal. What does it mean to pray for Morid HaTal? But to understand that, maybe we need to take a little bit of a deep dive for a minute into what it is that we're doing here on Chol HaMoed. I want to quote to you the language in the Yerushalmi. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mama. Rabbi Abba Bar Mama used to say, Ilu ayali misha yimane, imani, if I had anyone that would join me, hayiti matir la'asot melacha b'chol ha-moed, I would cancel the restrictions on work on Chol HaMoed. If I would have anyone that would join me, I would cancel the Isurim on Chol HaMoed. What does that mean? That means before Rabbi Abba Mar Mamel, there are Isurim on Melacha on Chol HaMoed. Okay? What are we allowed to do on Chol HaMoed? Technically, it should be regular like the holiday. What are you allowed to do? You're allowed to do things for Ochel Nefesh. Whatever you would need to do, all these different things. We say also Davar Aved, we talked about this yesterday. If a person is going to suffer a tremendous loss at work, he's allowed to work a little bit on Chol HaMoed for things that are going to cause him a tremendous loss. So there's certain exclusions. But technically, the laws of Chol HaMoed require, have Yisur Melacha. You're not supposed to do Melacha. Says Rav Arba Bar Mamel, I would abolish that if I could. But I have no one to join with me to create this Beit Din. Okay, why? Ki kelum aseru, listen to this is unreal. Kilum aseru la'asot melacha. Why did they forbid doing work on Chol HaMoed? Ela kedei shiyu ochlim v'shotim v'oskim b'Torah. The reason why we did this was in order that we should be able to eat and drink and to study Torah. To be free to do this. V'hem, but what do people do? Ochlim v'shotim, they eat, they drink, they're not working because isur melacha. So what are they doing instead? Upochazim. Interesting language. Pochazim. Anyone know what that means? Sorry? It sounds like a piggy word, doesn't it? Like pochazim. But like almost like chazir. I don't know. Like I get with the, but it's not what it means. In Ashkenaz. Okay, what is pochazim? I speak fluent Yiddish, by the way. You're not sweet, you're not squeezing that past me. Okay, so what is pochazim? Where does it come from? The language of pochazim comes from a word in the Torah. Excellent. Pahas kamayim. Right? Reuven, in the blessings from Yaakov Avinu to his children, what does he say to Reuven? Pahas kamayim al totar. What does pahas mean? Pahas means to rush, to do things hastily, to make mistakes because of the speed at which you're operating. Says Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, they're eating, they're drinking, they're making mistakes because they're running too fast. They're enjoying this, they're enjoying that. And then they're letting themselves down. They're on a higher level. They're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel said, the whole point of creating Isur Melacha was to get you higher. But instead, what's happened? Because people are sitting around doing nothing, they're eating, they're drinking, they're having a great time, but they're actually doing things that put them on a lower level. That the word Moed, which is what we are on now, Yagin al Mu'adim Ahirim, right? What do we say? Moed is Chol HaMoed. The word Moed, says the Arizal, is made up of two parts. The first letter is Mem, the second letter is Vav Ayin Dalet. The first letter is Mem is 40. The remaining three letters is Vav, Ayin, Dalet, is exactly 80. Says the Arizal, when a person spends money to be able, expends effort, spends money to be able to be mechabed et ha-mo'adot, to respect the mo'ed, Chol HaMoed especially, even more than the holidays, everybody respects. But especially the mo'ed, what does he get for his 40? He gets 80. So all of you dibs that didn't buy the most expensive room. No, I'm sketching. Right? All right. You could have went large and gotten double. All right, fine. You got 40. You put in 40, you get 80. Sorry, sponsored by Mati. Exactly. Okay? My friends. Yeah, exactly. Type in the promo code breakfast and the class for 20% off. Okay.
So if you hire the private yacht today.
Oh, Rebbe Spaeth is saying if you hire the private yacht, maybe you get back double. Oh, ret exactly like a poichazim pig. Fantastic. Gevaldik.
Speak Yiddish.
Rabbi, my friends, my teachers, my people. Isma, listen carefully. The question is, like we said on the first day, who are you being mechabed? It's a beautiful example from the Magid Midubna. The Magid Midubna used to say a beautiful mashal. The mashal was of a person, a rich man who had two children, and he was making a beautiful wedding for one of his other kids. He reaches out to his wealthy son and he says, please come to the wedding, honor me by being at the wedding with your whole family. I know it's a journey, but don't worry. Whatever you spend, the journey, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the carriage. I'll pay for the cloth. I'll pay for anything. Anything you spend to honor me is on me. It's not on you. So go crazy. The guy goes, Prada. I don't even know all the names anymore. Prada, Versace, Vera Wang. All the stores I see when I walk home from shul. Okay, those stores. Chanel, Louis Vuitton, McQueen. These are the stores that I see. It's getting very expensive, by the way, to go designer. You know why? Because now, not only do they have Giorgio Armani suits, there's a Giorgio Armani building. So if you're an Armani guy, now you need to buy an apartment. It's very difficult, Rabotai. Okay, soon they're going to start making cars. Anyway, the guy, he goes nuts. He buys everything, everything, everything. He gets the shoes with the red bottom, the Louboutins, right? Gets the, okay, those guys. He gets everything. The guy goes crazy. Anyway, turns up to the wedding, dressed, like they say, to the nines. I don't know the reason why that's a phrase. But either way, dressed to the nines. Someone will tell me, probably Nathan Lowe. Dressed to the nines. Well, he walks up to his father-in-law and he says, Abba, kisses his hand. So happy to be here. Everything lechvod, my father, you know, exactly. And the father says to him, he says, thank you so much. He says, do you have a receipt? He says, yes. He takes the receipt, crumples it up into a ball, he throws it in the garbage. The guy spent, God knows, $1 million getting his family ready for this wedding. He says, Dad, you told me whatever I spent is going to be covered. The father says, come with me. Takes him by the hand, walks him across the hall. Across the hall, who's sitting there? This rich man, his brother, one of the other sons of this rich man. And he's a pauper, he's an ani. And he's sitting there in tattered clothes. And his kid is sitting there taking food off the table, putting it in his pocket, so that later on he'll have more food, so that he'll be able to not go hungry. And he says to his son, Rohi, I told you I would cover expenses for anything you did for my honor. If you did this for my honor, would you have allowed your brother to come to the wedding looking like he does? You didn't do this for me, you did this for you. I didn't say I'm covering respect expenses for you. I said I'm covering respect expenses for me. Says Harambam, what is Simchat Yom Tov that God says, here's my black annex? What is God covering and rewarding double? What is Simchat Yom Tov? Not what is Simchat Kreso. If you're worried only about your stomach, that's just about you. If you're worried about the ger, yatom, almana, levi, kohen, asher b'sha'arecha, if you're worried about everybody else, all the other children of the Almighty, you want to make sure that God's holidays are respected for them, then you did it for the honor of the Hag. My friends, this is true also in Ruhaniyut. Person comes to Shamayim, and my friends, I beg your indulgence now, because I'm going to hit you hard. You're going to come to Shamayim with all your mitzvot, with your beautiful suit and your shoes, with your unbelievable no-show socks, Hazaku Baruch. You've got the fantastic drip, the Rolex, whatever it is, but in mitzvot, your daf yomi, your everything, all that you learned, all that you did, and you're going to say to Hashem, that's it, I'm here. Pay me. And God's going to look at all of your mitzvot, Because why did God create the world? L'chvodi berativ, God says. I created it for my honor. All these mitzvot that you're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be in respect for me. But you let your brother work on Shabbat, not say anything to him? You never invited him home? You let this guy not know Aleph Bet while you're sitting there finishing Shas for the seventh time? And you want to tell me that you think that that's for my honor? If it was for my honor, wouldn't you be worried about the humiliation that I, as God, am feeling when most of Am Yisrael is off the rails? I'm sorry, I can't pay you for things that you did for your own honor. L'chvod haregel, l'chvod ha-moed. What is the kavod of the moed? Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel tells us, we made you stop working, but why do we make you stop working? So that you could study Torah. Everyone in the world, there's a million lists, I don't know if you know, 62 places you could go with your family on Chol HaMoed. 94 restaurants that are open Kasher LePesach for Chol HaMoed. Everyone got these lists, right? Did anyone get a list that says 42 shiurim that you could attend on Chol HaMoed? 20 days of learning that you could have in a Bet Knesset. You didn't have it. That's what Chol HaMoed's for. It's to spend time with whom? With Borei Olam. Moed means a time of coming together with Hashem. My friends, we spend money, time, effort making sure that we have amazing accommodations, beautiful clothes for the holiday, delicious food, fantastic. But when you start your day with Torah, you're saying to God, none of this begins until we study Torah. Do you know how valuable this class is? Shame nobody thought to sponsor it. It's too late now. I'm taking it for myself. My friends, do you know how important it is to make sure you plant a flag for in Chol HaMoed for spirituality? Now let me say this. There is not only one kind of spirituality. We just went and we prayed. And after we finished praying, we came to here to study Torah. That is one, two kinds of spirituality. But my friends, spending time with your wife and children can be the most spiritual thing in the world. Building the love and the connection with your family during a trip like this, going somewhere, enjoying the time with them, that's also something that is uniquely spiritual, uniquely beautiful. I love the idea. We say about the Korban Pesach that it's eno ne'echal ela leminuyav. Who could eat from your Korban Pesach? Only the ones whose names are written down. You know why we write people's names down usually? So we don't forget them. Everyone in your family is written down. They are part of this holiday. Did I spend the time with that child? Did I give my wife a little bit of TLC, making sure that she feels taken care of? And you don't have to do that on a program. You don't need to go away in order to do that. You could do that in the comfort of your own home. You could do that if you're in Brooklyn or Deal or Lakewood or wherever you might be, my friends. But when you use your mind to say, this is what I'm doing, I want my children, my family to feel loved, noticed, paid attention to. When a person does that, my friends, then they're bringing a tremendous ruhaniyut to this. And I will end by saying this. You know, the pasuk tells us, ki lekach tov natati lachem. I gave you a good business. Lekach tov natati lachem, torati al ta'azovu. Don't abandon my Torah. It's a great business. This is an amazing gig, Torah and mitzvot. Este chafetz chayim. You're going to call the Torah a business? Why? Whenever the Torah uses a euphemism, it's doing that for a reason. Why is it calling Torah a business? I'll give you one answer before I give you the answer I want to use today. One answer is, there's no such thing as a business that does not take a reckoning. Imagine you have 5,000, remember we used to have Walkmans, right? In 1980, you'd have had a killer business. yellow Walkman, especially the one with the extra flap that went over to make it waterproof. Remember that? With the rubber play button. Everyone, if you had that, you were the coolest ever. Then you had the little tiny headphone with the metal and the little fat, you know, like little orange, you know, headphones. That's it. You were dope. Imagine you had a Walkman, though. Now it's not as hot an item, although now it's making a comeback because retro. You know why, by the way, vintage and retro is so popular, it's so fashionable, it's so expensive? Because there is an underlying desire within people to go back to the way things were. A recognition of the fact that our world is messed up. And therefore, they feel when they look at vintage or play things on vinyl that they're going back to a simpler time. It's the soul craving a divestment from all of the things that we've got going on. Says the Chafetz Chaim, take notice, you're putting investment in your life into A, B, C. What's the return on investment on A? Is it enough? Maybe tweak it. You have to be able to look at these things and think, this item's not selling. You know what, this item, I'm selling tons of it. But you know what, I'm not selling it. There was an old Jackie Mason joke. You know that Jackie Mason joke? He says, you meet a Jewish guy. You ask him about, the guy says, he goes, you know a guy? I go, of course I know a guy. Right? I want to buy a watch. He goes, you want to get it 50% off. 50% off. 20% off. 20% off. He goes, I get cost. And the guy says, I know a guy below cost. Below cost. How does he make money? Sells a lot of watches. It doesn't matter how many watches you sell if you're selling it below cost. If in your life, in your spirituality, you're selling below cost, it's time to shift out of that class. It's time to shift out of that practice. Because you're not making your return on investment. Your most valuable resource is your time. That's the Chafetz Chaim says. I'm going to share with you a different answer. You know what a different answer is? This is the idea. In business, you always want to be able to have something called exponential growth. That means I don't want to grow just by the work of my hands. I want my growth to prompt further growth, which is bigger than me. So as an example, you start making money not when you have one office, but when you have now two offices. Where even though if I'm not there, that business operates. When you have four stores, exponential growth, where you don't need to be involved, that's where you're really growing. In Chazak, I learned very early on that most Jewish organizations make a fundamental mistake, and that is that the person at the top of the food chain needs to be involved in everything. And what that means is that it is limited by his or her time. You really need to do is find people that you trust completely, send them out and let them do their thing. So Baruch Hashem, we have branches popping up because we have people that are capable and they're being given a mandate and told, you're strong enough, you go do it. Wherever you are, I said, act with your koach, act with your strength. My friends, that's the idea of a mitzvah. Look at my Torah. My Torah is exponential growth. You saved one person from intermarriage, all of their children, for all time, are your zechut. Says the Yerushalmi, when a person studies Torah and no one else is studying Torah, notel sachar keneged kulam. Best days in the year, calendar year, to learn Torah, if you want ROI, is Purim. Ain't nobody learning on Purim. Right now they started this whole Kolel Mordechai HaTzadik, gorgeous what they're doing. Right, but now you're making less sachar. And Chol HaMoed. Everyone's running to their trip. No one's learning Torah. That means if you spent with us 29 minutes, hopefully by the end of this class, 31 minutes or 30 minutes learning Torah, that 30 minutes is multiplied by every person out there that did not learn Torah. Why? Because in these moments, the Pasuk says, Im lo biriti yomam shamayim yom biriti yomam v'layla hukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. If not for my eternal day and night covenant, I would not have placed the laws of creation into effect. The world is existing on this moment because of your Torah. Normally it's held up by all the people studying Torah. Today, when very few people are studying Torah, it's held up only by the few. That means that weight is disproportionately on your shoulders. That means that the reward for all those people comes to you. This 30 minutes is going to be, it's going to pay sick dividends. Okay? My friends, let's make sure that we take the opportunity. Ask yourself, for every day of Chol HaMoed, we have meticulous planning. Ask yourself, what could I do on today's Thursday, We have Friday, we have Shabbat, we have Sunday. What could I do on each day of the Moed to bring kavod to the Moed, to do one beautiful thing? Decide you're going to compliment five people. Decide you're not going to speak Lashon Hara at all for Chol HaMoed. Come up with something. Doesn't matter what it is. You're going to give tzedakah on these days. You're going to find a way, because by the way, the same way when there's not the mitzvah of Torah being done, you get the reward for everybody else. Chol HaMoed is also very weak tzedakah. Why? All the collectors are home for the holiday with their families. A lot of people are away. So who's giving tzedakah on Chol HaMoed? Almost nobody. We didn't even sell the Aliyot and Shul today. You understand? There's an opportunity today to give tzedakah on Chol HaMoed where you're holding up the whole world. That is exponential growth on a mitzvah. That is ki lekach tov natati lachem, to look at it like a business. Hashem should bless us that we should have the beracha of Tal, bringing it full circle. Geshem is what happens when the rain saturates the earth. But when do things actually begin to grow? When the rain stops. Isn't that fascinating? Growth happens after the rain stops, when the sun comes out, and all of a sudden the plants are reaching towards the sky. This time in the year is not the investment of for potential, it's the realization of potential. So what do you want to do to actualize the kochot that you've been spending all this time building up? That begins Morid HaTal on the first day of Pesach. It carries on through Chol HaMoed in its strongest effect. May Hashem bless you to actualize your growth in the most beautiful exponential way. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Rabbi